The greatest call that any of us can have is the call to win somebody to Jesus so that they can share in this life the joy of fellowship with God and then have the hope of eternal life, to live with Him all through eternal ages. To begin our study this morning, I'd like to notice Proverbs 11:30 and 2 Timothy 3:15. This study this morning begins a series of lessons on soul winning that I've entitled Beginning Soul Winning. You notice it's beginning. These are the kindergarten lessons. But you know, the lessons we learn at the very beginning of education in the alphabet, we use all the rest of our lives, don't we? And these principles that we're going to study together about soul winning are to be used from now until Jesus comes. Proverbs 11:30, the last line. He that winneth souls is wise. It takes a wise person to win souls. You see, you can't buy souls with money. You can't bribe them with flattering offers. You can't scold them into acceptance. You can't drive them, much as we might like to sometime. No matter what the age of the soul we're working for, the soul must be won. He that winneth souls is wise. Well, someone says, I'm afraid I'm not wise enough to win somebody. That may well be. But now our second text tells us how we can become wise in this wonderful wisdom of soul winning. Paul is writing to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee, what? Wise. Why, yes. Here in this wonderful book, we have the wisdom of God. And God had this book written for two great purposes. One, that you and I might be saved personally. The other, that we might learn how to get others to share this same salvation. Now, Timothy got an early start. His mother and his grandmother started him in when he was just a little fellow, learning the scriptures. And wherever you and I start in our fellowship with God, whether it's when we're little folks or when we're older, we're to begin to fill our minds with the holy scriptures. For these are the things that make us wise. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. We'll be using from time to time statements from the book Ministry of Healing and also from messages to young people. We won't promise to use both of these every morning, but if you care to bring them, you will have some use for them. All of these wonderful, inspired volumes are textbooks on soul winning. But I find in Ministry of Healing and in Messages to Young People, page after page, chapter after chapter, dealing with this wonderful science of how to work with human minds and help people get acquainted with Jesus. All right, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. He makes a wise choice if he goes into soul winning. Do you know why? Well, turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and the 3rd verse, and you will see why the soul winner is making a wise choice. Daniel, the 12th chapter, and the 3rd verse. And they that be wise. And who is wise? He that winneth souls. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The soul winners are God's stars. They're not like the Hollywood stars that get their names written in big letters on the billboards today, and tomorrow they're forgotten. God's stars shine as the heavenly stars, the stars in the celestial firmament forever and ever. It's going to be a wonderful thing, dear friends, to have somebody come to us in the glorious reward of the hereafter and say, with joy beaming from their faces, you won my soul to Christ. I'm here because of something you said, something you did. And my dear friends, every one of us can have that privilege. In fact, every one of us will have that privilege, for we're told there'll be no starless crowds. And that isn't to frighten us into thinking, well, I'm afraid I won't be there because I don't know of anybody that I want. It's the other way around. It should cheer our hearts, because as certainly as Jesus has undertaken our salvation, he has guaranteed to help us personally be the agency, the instrument through which somebody is won. Now, we may have to wait till we get there to know who it is. That's all right. There'll be many surprises when Jesus introduces us to those that we have won. Well, I want to be one of God's stars, to shine for his glory, not for my own. What do you say? All right, now we want to learn. As I have said, this class is entitled Beginning Soul Winning. And I'll tell you why I have entitled it that. The two reasons. Ministry of Healing 149 says, many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. This statement has inspired my heart in this class. Many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. And so I'm sure if you and I can learn how to begin, we can go on from there. But on the other hand, friends, if we busy our time in studies like these with what might be called the higher levels, a lot of folks will never know how to start. And you know where we start from? We start from where we are. We all do that every time we take a trip. Whether it's down to the corner or 1,000 miles away, we start from where? From where we are. And so this morning, I propose that we start from where we are. I hope that each one of us has given his heart to Jesus. I'm sure it would be foolish to think of winning somebody else to Jesus if we hadn't found him ourselves. So that's where we start from. And if you... And any of you listening in, if you have not yet given your heart to Jesus, I hope that just now you will, by faith, open the door of your heart and say, yes, Lord Jesus, come in and live in me. And then he will begin to teach us this science of soul winning. Now, starting then from where we are, with the first surrender to Jesus. How do we begin to win somebody else to Christ? Well, volume 1, page 513 has this interesting sentence. Begin to pray for souls. Begin to pray for souls. Will you say that with me? Begin to pray for souls. The way to begin is on your knees, seeking God. And that's what I want to study with you in this first class. This is the beginning of the beginning. This is the first thing. Begin to pray for souls. You see, soul winning is not something like making an automobile or making a cake, in which there's a certain recipe, and anybody who'll read the directions and stir up certain things will get a certain product. No. Soul winning is a very intricate and marvelous science. Each individual, you see, is different from all others. And what we're up against is this. We're standing at the door of a building that's locked. And the question is, how are we going to get in? Well, I have a key. But will that key fit? Just because I have a key doesn't mean that I can get in any building, does it? No. As far as the law of averages is concerned, the fact that I have one key or a dozen, it doesn't give me much chance of getting in the particular building that I'm knocking at the door of. There's one key that will open that lock. How am I going to know? Do you see that I need to pray? Here's another reason I need to pray. God has not given me the job of winning every soul in this world. He has not given me the ability, and He won't give me the ability to reach everybody. I might wish I could, but no. There's somebody you can reach that I can't reach. There's somebody I can reach that you can't reach. Do you see? And so I need to pray that God will guide me to the ones that I can best help. Soul winning, then, is not just thinking, oh, well, I'll just do what I can with this one and that one and the other one. Soul winning is a very specific work. While it's true that we ought to scatter sunshine everywhere we go, and be watching for chances everywhere we go. Yet it's on our knees in the secret place of prayer that we enter into a fellowship with God concerning certain definite souls. Now, in Job, the 16th chapter and the 21st verse, we have a wonderful presentation of our privilege as soul winners. Job 16:21. Let's take a look at that. Oh, that one might plead with a man, pardon me. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleaded for his neighbor. What's the verb here? Plead. And what does plead mean? What word have we just been using that suggests pleading? Prayer. And prayer regarding souls means to plead. As we seek the Lord first, that He may inspire our hearts to know who to work for and who to pray for, then as He burdens us with definite ones, we are to plead. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. So your first work, my dear beginning friend, in the science of soul winning, is down on your knees, asking God who you are to pray for, work for, and never give up on. This is where you begin. This is where you start. Unless we do it this way, we may go through a great deal of activity and have little to show for it at the end of weeks and months and years. Begin to pray for souls. Now some people are perplexed because they don't see what praying would have to do. How am I getting down alone with God can have any effect on somebody in Chicago or Memphis or New York or even in the room next to me? How can what I do alone with God have any effect on some other soul? Well, my dear friends, I don't pretend to understand all that mystery, but there's a lot of things I don't understand that I take advantage of anyway. I don't understand why, when I turn a switch back there, that the room is filled with light, or that if I plug in, a certain arrangement that I can get a motor to running or get music or get any one of a number of things. Just think, with electricity, we can cook food or we can freeze food. Do you understand all that? Somebody says, sure, I understand it. Well, I'll tell you, we all perhaps understand something about it, but no one understands all about it. Someone was telling me about a research man in electricity, and he was taking postgraduate work. He was getting his PhD in this work of electrical engineering, and he was at one of the great electrical research centers of the United States. And so as he was finishing his work there, he was with several of the professors one day, and they said, well, now you're about to finish your work here. Is there any other question you'd like to ask before you go? Yes, he said, there is one. What is electricity? And you know, those wise and learned men, they had to confess that actually they couldn't give a satisfactory and full explanation of it. Of course, somebody that doesn't know as much as they know might have a glib answer. Now, my point is this. We do not wait until we understand all about electricity to get the benefit of using it. Is that right? And so it is with this matter of prayer. As the great tool, the great agency, the great method in soul winning. The fact that we cannot explain how it works doesn't interfere at all with the fact that it does work. And it has worked for 6,000 years, my friends. Thousands and millions of souls have been won because somebody down on his knees interceded with God. And so, if you want to win souls, follow the directions. Plead for a man with God. Plead for a man with God. That's what this text says. And the number is interesting. Amen. We do not get burdened for souls so much in mass. Most of us, nearly all of us, will find that our most successful method is to begin with one. Begin with one. You know, there are forms of life where the new creatures are born or hatched multiple. The possum, for instance, can have a dozen or more little ones born. But most human beings are born one at a time, right? Occasionally we see twins, and still, far more seldom, triplets or quadruplets. But most of us are born one at a time. And that's the way it is with soul winning. And if you want to win souls, dear friends, begin with one. Begin with one. Now, if later you find that you can carry two at a time and still do justice to them in prayer and in effort, that's fine. But begin with one. And begin to do what? Begin to pray, down on your knees. Now, while we don't understand all the reasons for prayer as the method of soul winning, I'd like to suggest two or three reasons this morning why prayer is used by God to lead us into soul winning. In the first place, friends, praying for something increases our desire for it. And it takes a great desire to do the work that needs to be done in laying hold of a lost soul and bringing that one to Jesus. God has to put some desire in our souls in order to get us to start praying. But if we're praying in the Spirit, the more we pray, the more we desire. And that fits us to go and work for that soul. Do you see? So, as we pour out our hearts to God in prayer, Oh, Lord, help me to reach George, or Harry, or Mary, or Alice, whoever it is that God has burdened us for. As we pour out our hearts to God in prayer, we rise from prayer longing for that more than we did when we knelt to pray. And this is part of the strategy of God in calling us to our knees to pray. There's a second reason. Often when we come to God in prayer for souls, God sees that there's something in our lives that's an obstacle to the free course of His Spirit through us. And so, He leads us to pray. And as we kneel there, pleading with Him, perhaps as we pause a moment, wondering what we might say, the Holy Spirit convicts us of some sin in our lives. It may be something we've thought of before, but have never quite come to the point of fully surrendering. It may be something we've thought of before, but we've never been so convicted of its sinfulness. We haven't thought of it as really very bad. But however it's looked to us before, there kneeling at the throne of grace and pleading for souls, God convicts us, and we see that this thing has got to come out of our lives if we're really going to have power in soul winning. And what do we do? Oh, under the inspiration of that season of intercession, we say, oh Lord, if this is what it takes, take it out. I want that soul. I want that person that I'm burdened for. I want to see John give his life fully to Jesus. I want to see Mary in the kingdom. And Lord, if this is what it takes, take that thing out of my life. Do you see how God can use that pry that thing loose in our hearts and lives? I know in my own experience, friends, God has dealt that way with me many, many times. And I've told Him that I want Him to keep on. You know, this is one of the great reasons that God lets us be involved with Him in the winning of souls. It's so that we ourselves can be saved. And so, when you pray for souls, don't just run through a list of names and then hurry off. No. As you pray, be sure that quietly you listen, opening the way for the Spirit to convict you of sin. Expect that there on your knees, God will work some changes in your life. This is the price of soul winning. And this is one of the reasons that so few people are successful soul winners. They either fail to take the time to come to this point, or having come to it, they fail to pay the price, to make the surrender, to give up the sin, the cherished idol, the indulgence. And may I tell you, friends, God will talk to you about things that other people may not talk to you about. He may convict you of some bit of foolishness that other people would think harmless pleasantry. He may convict you of some bit of extravagance in dress, in furniture, in any expenditure, that somebody else would pat you on the back and say, "Why, that was just fine. I'm glad you bought this or that or the other thing." The Holy Spirit, as you kneel burdened for souls, may say to you, "This is not the way to be like Jesus, who, though He was rich, for your sakes became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich." Yes, again and again the Holy Spirit will convict us of some manifestation of pride, some expression of selfishness, some demonstration of human nature that, as I say, other people may think nothing of. But the Holy Spirit is sensitive, and He will help you to be sensitive. This is all part of the price of soul winning, and it all comes as you kneel there, asking God in prayer for the salvation of that soul. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God. Let's do it. What do you say, friends? Amen. Oh, let us rejoice to enter into the secret place of prayer and there let God burden us for lost men and burden us to the place where we are willing to give up anything in the world. And now this closing thought. The greatest thing that we can do in praying for souls. You'll find it in Christ Object Lessons 196. This is to teach us how much souls are worth. There are some things we do to earn $100. But we might not do it just to earn a dollar. There are sacrifices that men have made to discover a fortune in gold or uranium that they wouldn't make even for $100. One of the greatest lessons we have to learn in soul winning is how much souls are worth. We learn it kneeling at the foot of the cross. This says, at the foot of the cross, remembering that for one sinner, Christ would have laid down his life, you may estimate the value of a soul. May we kneel. Precious Lord, kneeling at thy feet this morning, we choose to begin, to learn how to begin, to win souls for thee. Take our minds and impress them. Just now, may each one think of a definite soul that thou wouldst have him burdened for today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Throw up the lifeline. Throw up the lifeline.
We pray that you have been blessed by this message. If you are interested in ordering the rest of this series, please contact us at Pioneers Memorial, P.O. Box 102, Wildwood, Georgia 30757, or leave us a message on our telephone at 706-820-9755. Or even better yet, you can visit our website at www.wdfraseysermons.com. You will find many more free sermons that you may listen to over the internet and even download. Plus, you will also find many other useful features on our website. Blessings to you. And remember that God is love.